la 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 la. Oh, tell me more, tell me more. Hello everyone, and welcome to the Cusper Radio Show. There's a slight little secret I've got in me pocket today, and that is that this is not live. Nee mense, hierdie ding is nie lewendig nie. Dit is wat Adam ook vir Eva gesê het in die begin. Maar nee, dit is pre-recorded, want ek is weg op tour op die oomblik. En ek het gedink, wat ek wil doen is like a highlight package shows maak. Dat is nie net 'n hele show repeat nie, maar dat ek praat oor van die goed wat ek onthou so ver van die 3 jaar wat ons al hierdie show doen. Kan jy glo dit is so hoe die tyd verby hoe die vlieg verby gemig het. Hoe die tyd verby gevlieg het. Yesie. Ons eerste show was met Charlene City Richards. Sy kom elke jaar in Mei kom sy dit vier, die feit dat sy die eerste gas was. Ag ons was almal lekker senuweeagtig, daai eerste episode almal bewe handjies. En dit was Alicia en Simba en Jeffrey het nog die mixer gewerk, want ek kon nie. En ons het gehad van Hannes van Oudshoorn van Rede en Betty Bangles a la Bernard Buys. Ek dink Bernard het elke tweede week ingekom met Skeer en Skinner. En ons het selfs vir die eerste Skinner sessie het ons soos 'n skeerder as 'n background gehad. Die eerste paar Skeer en Skinners het ons dit gedoen, maar dit is ons nou Skeer en Skinner. En ek onthou iemand het gevra, daar's iets aan in die agtergrond, is dit 'n dildo? Nee, dit is die hele idee van Skeer en Skinner, man. Die so baie het verander sedertdien. Maar kom ons gaan na die man van die stasie en dit is Gareth Cliff. Nou Gareth, danksy hom het ons hierdie cliffcentral.com waar mens jou kan uitleef en waar jy kan shows gee wat jy op geen ander plek kan hoor nie. Dit is vir my fantasties om dit deel te wees daarvan. So ek is so trots, jy weet, ek is soos I'm proud. As mense sê, nou waar is jou radiostasie? My program is op die radiostasie cliffcentral.com. Maar waar is die radiostasie? Dit is nie 'n radiostasie, dis internet radio. Maar hoe kry mens dit? Jy fucking soek al voor op die internet. Magdag. So Gareth het ek uitgenooi in van een van die eerste episodes om te gesels oor 'n tema baie na aan my hart en my longe en dit is naamlik ateïsme. En dit was episode nommer ek dink dit was ek kan nie onthou nie, dit is 6 of 7. So kom ons gaan terug daar waar ek met Gareth gaan sit en sê Gareth, vertel vir my nou alles.
I couldn't think of anyone better to talk with me than the main defender of the faithless, Mr. Boss, Mr. Gareth Cliff, and he is our... What the fuck was that? He is our...
Extra!
Yes.
Special!
Guest for today. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Casper.
Now, I'm not, I'm going to talk, as you can hear, about mainly atheism. I want to talk, tell you where I come from. I want to hear where you come from. Mm-hmm. And just make it a very interesting conversation. I don't want to represent the other side here today. I want to represent our side.
Well, there's been 10,000 years of everybody else's side being represented, and people like us who had views that were divergent were burnt at the stake. Mm. We were punished. We were tortured. We were separated from our families. We were treated as infidels, as heretics. You were tortured and put to death if you had these views before. So I think that anybody who finds atheism distasteful or finds agnosticism distasteful is not paying attention to the fact that for all of human history, people with views like ours have been tolerated not one bit. It is worse than the way that slaves were treated. It is worse than the way that that class ever put people into certain divisions. And all of a sudden, when you say that you don't believe, which is not a position, it means that you're not in the position of other people. Mm. It's like saying you're a non-astrologer.
Yes.
No one questions that. No one goes, oh, well, do you have non-astrology meetings? Or is there an agenda for non-astrologers? Do you go around converting other people out of astrology? It's ridiculous. Mm. To me, the point is that if you are a non-believer, that is not a position, but it is the exception to other positions.
Totally agree with you. And what is good for us, what I mean with us is our generation, is at least we're not being killed anymore. I mean, some people are still.
Aren't we lucky?
I mean, you look, if I say I'm an atheist in Syria, they will.
You'll be killed.
I will be killed. Yeah.
You'll also be killed for being gay in Syria. You'll also be killed if you stand up against the Assad regime. And aren't we lucky we don't live in Syria?
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, it has become a little bit better in terms of civilization, where people can say, start saying now proudly, I'm an atheist. And a couple of years ago, as you say, you couldn't. But I respect those people before science so much who even said it then, because they had nothing to stand on, and sometimes they had to make as if they were religious or just, you know,
Epicurus. Epicurus back
That's on my nail, yeah.
Epicurus was a philosopher, a Greek philosopher.
Yes.
Who years ago proposed the idea that maybe man made all of this stuff up, and actually that we're not the center of the universe, and just perhaps there should be further emphasis put on, and greater emphasis put on, facts and on observations than on illusions and mythology and mysticism. And he was roundly attacked in those days.
Was he killed or did he lie?
No, he managed to make it to significantly old age. But I think it was because philosophy at that point in ancient Greece was branching out. We had Socrates and Aristotle and Plato, and there were great thinkers who tolerated each other, which is where civilization develops.
Well, because the intolerance came with Christianity in a big way, and with Islam in a big way, because then people started to be fearful to say what they think, because they saw what happened. They were burning your balls off and sleep you, did he fucking straat on your ballare. So it was not a good time for people. So like Galileo Galilei, he pretended to be religious.
He had to.
Yeah.
Who knows whether Michelangelo actually believed in the things he was painting, or whether he was just doing it because the only way he could get the money and get the commissions was to pretend that he bought into that stuff. Yeah. It's not to say that that is an expression of his faith. We don't know. There was no way for him to have an alternate view in those days.
If you were Galileo Galilei,
you'd just toe the line so you could observe.
You would,
the universe. You could learn about the stars. I mean, people, the thing they wanted to burn him for, if you recall the papal bull that was sent to him, was that he said that the earth revolves around the sun and not the other way around.
Yes.
And the church, the Pope at the time, I think it was Pope Asinian, said, no, we'll burn you.
Yeah.
You must change this point of view.
Yes.
So he just did.
Yeah, he did. Let me must stay alive and let me read Pope humor.
Because we like being alive. It's primarily, instinctively, what we're programmed to do. We want to survive. Hence the fact that we don't like to be hurt, and we don't like to be butchered, and we try to avoid danger.
But instinctively, we also like to tell the truth.
Yes.
So if we sit and we see 2 + 2 = 9, we say, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. 2 + 2 = 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, no, it's not. It's 9. And I'm going to kill you. And then, okay, fuck, it's 9.
Exactly.
I will just keep this to myself.
But don't be frustrated by people who believe. And I don't believe in spreading atheism either. I think you do what you do. You know, if I heard Alicia said she has her, you know, her ideas, and Simba has his, and Hannes probably has his, and we don't even have the same philosophies about things. There's no commonality between atheists. We don't have a church that we go to. We don't have a sacred rock. We don't have a tree that we spin around. We don't have meetings.
No, but we have science.
Agendas.
We have science.
No, I mean, there's nothing to bind us together. The only thing that you and I have in common in this respect is that neither of us are convinced by the old books that other people are so easily convinced by.
And science.
Well, I don't even believe in science, Casey.
No, I'm not saying I'm believing in science. Mm. I say what science is bringing forward to us is discrediting so much. Like, I mean, in the book, the Christian Bible, it says God told Joshua, I think his name was, to stop the sun. Yes. And now we see it's a fucked up scientific. It's not possible.
Can't be done.
So what do you do now?
Just virgin birth. I like the example that's always given there, that Jesus was conceived in Mary, who was a virgin who'd never had intercourse with a man. Poor Joseph. Despite that, what is the greater probability here? That all of nature was suspended to your advantage if you're a believer, that everything stopped, that nature was reversed, which we have no examples of in human history that we can measure under laboratory conditions, or that a Jewish girl lied, which is more likely in this case.
Or it's a story that was just made up, because it's in the time of a lot of stories. You remember?
And if God really wanted his story to be told properly, he wouldn't have sent the story through Muhammad or Jesus, with all due respect, who were illiterate in an illiterate part of the world where people were burnt and sacrificed and the most important economy was generated by herding goats and sheep around. The best place for God to have gone at that time would have been China, where they'd invented writing.
Mm-hmm.
They could have transcribed precisely what God wanted to be said, instead of having it carried over 300 years of oral tradition in both cases, Islam and Christianity.
Absolutely.
And buggered up along the way.
What I said in one of my last stage shows was exactly that. I said I would believe if God was like that woman in V, the UFO woman who stopped, yes, and everyone on earth could hear her.
Yeah.
Well, and God, she said, hello everyone, awesome. Hello China,
God
come in.
He could have gone on Larry King or an Oprah Winfrey at any given time.
And, yeah, but if they didn't have TV, then he could have stopped with the UFO.
Sure.
And everyone could listen like that V UFO. And he would say, China, can you hear me? India, can you hear me? Okay. On Thursdays, we fucking eat unfatted McDonald's and we turn around every hour. Okay, have you got that?
I would stop and listen. I mean,
of course I would do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? But okay, we are running ahead of ourselves. I want to come back again. Now, as a child, you were brought up how did you start questioning things and why?
My parents are, because that's the background, my parents are both Christians. My mom went to the Inche Kerk when she was little. My dad is an Anglican. They both... They're believers. I don't think they're practicing in terms of going to church. I certainly haven't seen it in my lifetime. But I know they believe, and I respect that. I think that that's entirely okay. What I respect more is the fact that they didn't put any nonsense into my head when it was still soft.
Oh.
That they allowed me, without any stories about gentle Jesus or vindictive Jesus, because it depends what kind of parents you have that tell you either, they never put any of that into my head. They
thank you for flying Church of England. Okay, go there.
Fuck. Sorry, I pressed the wrong button.
They said that you figure it out yourself. And none of this is important or instructive to how good or bad a person you may be. Try not to hurt other people, which is the maxim I've followed my whole life long, emotionally, physically, mentally, or spiritually, if they believe in that stuff. Try not to hurt people, because I think that that's the only thing that you can do if you're a good person. Morality is a very simple thing. And morality is evident before there is a God. I mean, before those commandments came down from Sinai.
They didn't, actually.
The Israelites, well, let's imagine they did for a second, for the sake of argument. The Israelites knew that to stick together and not murder each other, not rape each other, was a good idea upon fleeing Egypt, before the commandments had come. The commandments were almost von selbstsprechend, because by that stage they had already civilized themselves long before and knew not to kill and rape, and it almost seemed patronizing to be given these rules. Even Jesus was, if you remember the story, the Good Samaritan, which he told, so we must accept that the story took place before him, in other words, before Christianity, that there were good people who knew what was right and wrong before Jesus told them what was right or wrong.
Mm.
He used it in his own example. So even those two examples, in the case of Judaism and Christianity, show that morality can predate God.
Of course.
And those things were important to me when I was young. And to know that these books, while other people treat them as sacred and holy, are books just like Harry Potter, or like Lord of the Rings, some of it's very good philosophy, some of it is very bad philosophy, and some of it is just downright immoral and wicked.
Mm-hmm.
and that you should be able to, if you're a sensible person, differentiate and decide what parts of it you would like to inform your general consciousness and which parts of it you would like to discard like rubbish.
Mm.
Because they were put together by people who wanted to control people.
Were you sent to church and Sonntag school or not?
No. I went to a youth group when I was in primary school because there was a girl that I was interested in. And she ended up becoming my first girlfriend when I was in Standard 2, which
you
was great.
Slut.
Yeah, yeah. And we used to have fun, hey? I mean, these things were cool because it was just an excuse to party and get together. There was no real preaching, and if there was, mm-mm, I think I filtered it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been impervious to that stuff. I've never believed bullshit from an early age. It's just in my case, it's lucky. A lot of people perhaps figure it out later on. A lot of people like the bullshit. It comforts them.
Absolutely comforts them. It is a door that you must open in your mind. That's why I say you can't just say I'm an atheist. You actually got to understand what you're saying.
But even saying that, it's not a position. You know?
No, but what I mean is you've got to open a door and go through all those philosophies before you can actually say there's no God. Because if you just say that, you don't understand.
Now, that is a very important point. I spent an enormous amount of my time when I was younger, both at primary school and in high school, learning about Judaism. Learning about Christianity, learning about Islam. I can still name the five pillars of Islam. I can still tell you about the Temple of Solomon. I can tell you all of this stuff. It interests me. It matters to me. I will admit that I haven't spent as much time studying Jainism or Hinduism, and I probably could have spent a bit more time on Taoism. But to be frank, these are not things in my context.
But we know what it is, at least. We know what they stand for, in a way.
I like to be informed about the things that have a different point of view to my own.
But you have that is what makes you a curious human being.
And that, to me, is the mark of intelligence. If I have any intelligence, and it's up to you to decide if I do, intelligence is not how much you know, but how much you want to know.
Yeah, true.
So if you don't know anything about the thing that you're arguing against, you don't have an argument.
And that's why most atheists or agnostics know the Bible, know the Quran, what do you call it?
Well, I always find it amazing that the Quran for
Quran
is certainly the holy book of Islam.
Yes,
and
of
in
course.
Judaism it would be the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament.
What is a Torah?
The Torah is the Old Testament. It's the Jewish book of God's deeds in the story of the Israelites.
But that is the basis of three religions.
It is. It's the foundation of monotheism, and herein lies for me the most ugly scene of all human history. The moment upon which monotheism is born, if you regard any of these books as being holy, the foundational moment in all of them is the moment where Abraham is called to sacrifice Isaac, his son.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, religion is born, because Abraham goes up onto what is now the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. Sorry, not the Mount of Olives, the Temple Mount.
Have you been there?
That's why it's sacred. It's the place where Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac.
Isaac. Mm.
He goes up there, and because a voice in his head, who he believes is God, has told him to kill his son, he's more than willing to do it. He's about to commit the most heinously immoral act. The act of killing your own child has got to be something so wicked and evil that it is beyond the comprehension of any parent.
Mm.
If you asked a parent to kill themselves or their child, they'd always rather kill themselves.
Of course.
It goes against nature in every way, shape, and form. So to ask this, God is showing himself to be extremely wicked. In that moment, though, he goes, ha ha, just kidding.
Yeah, he becomes Leon Schuster and says, candid camera.
Yeah, oh, shucks, which is extremely psychologically disturbing.
Yes.
Mm.
And this is contained in all three of these holy books as the most sacred moment of that covenant between God and the people of earth, the creatures that he made, the creatures of his concept. I have a problem with that. To me, if God had to say to me, if I had children, and he told me to kill the children, the first thing that you should say there is, fuck you. Not, sure, I'll go and do it. That was for me, the obvious morality distinction here. And I do regard all three religions as having a lot more in common than they have that sets them apart. Yet they fight like children over all three. And let us not be overbearing in our judgment of Islam. Islam is only 300 or 400 years younger than Christianity.
Yes.
And so now it is in the fire of its self-confidence. Where Islam is now is where Christianity was in the 1600s. And what were they doing in the 1600s? The Crusades, the conquistadors
witches.
In South America, burning witches, and executing people willy-nilly for being non-believers.
Very cruel.
So this is where Islam is now. Let us not take a special offense to Islam.
But you can learn from the past, can't you?
Yeah.
And you can say to Islam, well, then I think you're doing what we Christians did, or you know, the West did, or what the fuck they did already. But the thing is, Islam was created so that a certain group of cultural groupings, cultural people, could feel more at home with the religion. That's basically what happened.
Let's remember that the Middle East at the time of Muhammad was left out of the public discourse. It was kind of disregarded. It was a dusty area where people who spoke Arabic at the time were left out. They'd felt particularly, the Jews had had Moses,
they had that.
The Christians had had Jesus. At this point, they were going, what about us?
What about us? It isn't so fair.
It was a good time.
The thing is just that it's so fantastic for me that religions, where all the main kanona, they always run up a mountain or into a cave and then talk to someone that no one else can see. And then they come out with a book. Moses went up. What was he doing on the mountain? 40 days, Gareth, without water. Did he drink his own pee? And then he came back with three blocks of, we say it's 10 commandments. Actually, it's 46. Yeah, or even more. You must go read the cock.
But here's the interesting thing. We watched a religion being born in our lifetimes.
Yes.
We have seen
Scientology.
We've seen Mormonism transform and transmute.
Don't forget Seventh-day Adventists.
Well, it happens, yeah. And there are people who believe all of this stuff. And we know. We can tell that Scientology is complete claptrap. And it's an ambitious project that's served to tax dodge an organized business of indoctrination and of mental slavery among its acolytes, and it's advanced itself to the point now where it's beyond criticism, and people are buying into it, and people are accepting it, and I just think it's outrageous. These things must be called what they are.
It's because people are...
Pyramid schemes.
Yeah, people are too scared to stop and think. I think that's the problem. But you can also see within the Christian religions, we just mentioned a couple, and within that, they are fighting one another. Let's not forget the Protestants and the Catholics. Who, I mean, for a lot of Protestants these days, still the Pope is Satan. So it is childish, inter-fucking fighting. I just want to take a break and talk. We talked about a lot of religions in the Christian tradition as well. So Jeffrey, I'm going to talk to him just now because he's a Seventh-day Adventist, which, God. But there's also a very, very, very popular Broadway musical called The Book of Mormon that's about the Mormon faith.
I saw it in October last year.
In West End or Broadway?
No, in Broadway.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
Mm, very, very good.
I can imagine.
It was written by the two guys who do South Park.
Mm. Yeah,
Matt and
Trey.
Trey.
And they're now doing a movie.
Trey Parker, Matt
Stone.
Stone.
They're doing a movie about it now,
that's
apparently.
Right. Very good. I believe it could be coming here. That's what I've heard. I wonder how well it would do.
I don't want to see local, like Spamalot is on now. I don't want to see it. I've already seen it with Tim Curry. Where the fuck do you want to see local people? And anyway, no, that sounds very pretentious. But okay, so the Book of Mormon was made a musical. And a lot of Mormons go to see this religious send-up musical because they quite like it. And it actually just says exactly what happened to this Book of Mormon. Once again, Muhammad in a cave, what's his name? Moses on a mountain. Here you got Joseph Smith in his back garden, visited by an angel, Moroni. Mm-hmm. And he gives him a golden plate that no one fucking saw. Joseph saw this. Then he buried the plate. Almost a Vasi plate. Near fork, it's no weg. And then he started his own religion, that Jesus was actually in America as one of the lost tribes or something, and they all fucked the Salt Lake City. Very funny. And I've got the first song from this musical called Hello, where all the, you know, these people with the white shirts and the ties, what do they call themselves? Elders?
Missionaries.
Is that in position?
Well, that too.
Yeah, they call themselves elders. They go around evangelizing.
Yeah, they knock like those Jehovah people who want to talk.
It's them too.
I know you're not a Jehovah. You're Seventh-day Adventist. We're getting to you people. So this is a song from that musical. Hello. Let's have a listen.
Hello. My name is Elder Price, and I would like to share with you the most amazing book. Hello. My name is Elder Grant. It's a book about America a long, long time ago. It has So many awesome parts. You simply won't believe how much this book can change your life. Hello, my name is Elder Green. I would like to share with you this book of Jesus Christ. Hello, my name is Elder Young. Hello, did you know that Jesus lived here in the USA? You can read all about it now.
Hello,
in this nifty book, it's free, no, you don't have to pay.
Hello,
hello, my name is Elder Smith. And can I leave this book with you for you to just peruse?
Hello!
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 I'll just leave it here. It has a lot of information you can really use. Hello!
Hi!
My name is
Jesus Christ.
You have a lovely home.
Hello!
It's an amazing book.
Bonjour!
Hola!
Ni hao!
Me llamo Elder White.
Are these your kids?
This book gives you the secret to eternal life.
Sound good?
Eternal life.
With Jesus Christ.
It's super fun.
Hello.
Show you how it can be done.
No thanks.
You're sure?
Oh, well,
that's fine.
Goodbye.
Have fun in hell.
Hey now.
You simply won't believe how much this book will change. This book will change your life.
Change your life.
This book will change your life.
Hello, would you like to change religions? I have a free book written by Jesus.
No, no, Elder Cunningham. That's not how we do it. You're making things up again. Just stick to the approved dialogue.
Hello,
hello,
my name is
Elder Cunningham,
and we would like to share with you this book of Jesus Christ.
Hello,
hello,
sure.
Hi-ho.
Just take this book,
it's free
for you and me.
See, you simply won't believe how much it's changed his book,
changed his
life, so you won't burn in
hell.
You're gonna die someday, but if you read this book, you'll see that there's another way. Spend eternity with friends and family. We can fully guarantee that this book will change your life.
Jodie Foster, Tim Minchin, Stephen Fry, Christopher Hitchens, Richard Branson, Woody Allen, Larry David, Ricky Gervais, Edgar Allan Poe, Morgan Freeman, Bill Maher, Bill Gates, Charles Darwin, Dan Barker, Sam Harris, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, Terry Pratchett, Richard Carrier, Carl Sagan, Richard Strauss, Rowan Atkinson, Diane Keaton, David Gilmour, Brad Pitt, Jimmy Carr, Bob Geldof, John Malkovich, Gore Vidal, Daniel Radcliffe, Bart Ehrman, Clarence Darrow, Helen fucking Keller, can you believe it, Brian Cox, David Attenborough, Professor Alice Roberts, Eddie Izzard, Warren Buffett, Bernard Russell, Isaac Asimov, Ian McKellen, Henry Matisse, Charlie Chaplin, Matt Groening, Richard Hawkins, Mark Twain, Ryan Reynolds, Billy Joel, Robert Altman, Douglas Adams, Bjork, Marlene Dietrich, Rachel Griffith, Katharine Hepburn, Ernest Hemingway, Bjorn Ulvaeus, Christina Applegate, and George Giuseppe Katsaritsa Kataputa Katsamitsa Verdi, who are listening now, all glorious atheists. Oh, I could do another place.
Oh, what, that's...
impressive list.
Illustrious company.
Oh, it's not stupid people, eh?
Look, there are loads of thoughtful religious people that we could make just as long a list, maybe even a longer list, because history's on their side. And I think some of the greatest leaders in human history have been very religious people. And I don't want anybody to think that because I have an opinion that what you say isn't necessarily true, that I don't respect you. It is perfectly okay for me to respect someone just because they disagree with me. And in fact, that's the sensible approach to take with anything that doesn't fit with you. But to hate me because I don't agree with you makes you the bigot.
Now let's take this back. Let's make it very simple, because the truth is simple, and then it gets extremely complicated all of a sudden, because look how we've been discussing things, but actually it's one sentence. There is no higher powers. That is what it's all about. And to say that is so simple, but then to go into the nitty-gritty of that is extremely difficult. So let's go back. Let's go back. Back in history.
Okay.
So here we are. We are but a few thousand years, if I say we, I mean human beings with brains that can distinguish between things and can think of things and can invent things. That's a couple of years. We only started to write 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, they say that Homo sapiens sapiens, the species to which we all belong, is maybe 10,000 at a maximum 20, 25,000 years old, that it has been around on the planet, our species. In other words, any other species, Neanderthalensis or any others, would have predated that or have been around at exactly the same time. And history is showing more and more that we might have eaten the Neanderthals.
It also shows that Neanderthals were fucked by Homo sapiens. And if you look at me, you can see it happened.
Oh, well, there
because
we go.
Because Neanderthals were short, fucked up little men. You know?
But if, okay, you were saying something. So if we're 10,000, let's say 10,000 years old.
Yeah, oh, look. If we are now really, really going scientifically, we could say 100,000 years ago, our first forefathers, remnants, mm-hmm. what the fuck we are.
Climbed out of the trees.
We're going on and walking around. 70,000 years ago, they departed from Ethiopia and started to populate the earth. And then, you know, as they populated the earth, they all started their own cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And now we fast forward to a few seconds ago in universe time, like 15,000, 10,000 years ago, where people now started to, where they are, make up wonderful cultural stories about themselves to feel part of their tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I quickly want to say before I forget, people like the Jewish culture, I adore and admire that whole culture and traditions and all that.
Mm.
And John Stewart, for instance, he is the presenter of The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Jew. He's a proud Jew. He does all, what means that he observes all those traditions, but he's not. He doesn't believe in God, but he believes in the Jewish tradition.
Sure.
That I can understand, the Indian tradition, I can understand all that.
But you see what religion's been very clever at doing is that it's intertwined and interwoven itself so deeply within the fabric of the culture that now the two are, for some people, indistinguishable. It's a difficult business for John Stewart because he has to decide what he keeps out and what he puts in, and he's judged by that. According to some people, he's not a Jew, some very strict Orthodox Jews, for example. And some others would say, oh, no, but he was born to a Jewish mother, and that's all you need to be Jewish. It doesn't matter what you believe in.
Yeah. Well, but once again, you've got to be clever, but you've got to be objective and distinguish between cultural traditions, which I think is fantastic, and religious traditions.
It is hard.
Because it defines who you are and your background. I think I can understand the proudness in that. But, okay, let's go back to the story. So there we all were, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Indian, the Indus Valley, which is also one of the oldest civilizations, and they all made up stories. And one of the most recent ones that we can remember might be the Greeks and the Romans with their gods. Remember, that was a whole category.
Oh, let me tell you, there were people who were so scared of Zeus. There were people just 2,000 years ago who were so shit scared of Zeus that if you mentioned his name, they thought they'd be struck by lightning.
Yep.
And now who's scared of Zeus? Look around the room. Ask anybody in the traffic if you're driving around. Stop at home tonight and say to your family and invite some friends and say, anybody here scared of Zeus?
And they would think you're talking about the dog.
They won't know what the hell
you mean.
Come,
Zeus. And that was 2,000 years ago. Right. So we outgrow that so quickly. We outgrow the, outgrown. What?
Well, that culture died out. That culture became extinct.
That's my point.
Who knows how many other gods and goddesses lie on the scrap heaps of human
2,600 at the moment, still gods. That
still good. They're still good.
Good,
they still got some going.
So you had your Roman things, and it's like a whole Nathaniel story of the Romans. Die you not by dying geslaap, and to die you not barbecue, and to word die die God van Lurg. And so everyone had all that.
Yeah.
I mean, you see in Hinduism, you see also God of this, and a God of that, and a God of this. But what happened then? Poor people. People who didn't feel that they got their attention, that they were fuck all, worthless, became the Christians.
Well,
because they stood up and rose up and became very violent and overthrew and burned that beautiful library and overthrew
Alexandra.
Yeah,
but I think it's fair to say at this point that Christian philosophy was always that the meek shall inherit the earth.
And the poor shall fuck it all up.
No, that Christianity was designed for people who felt left out at that point.
But that's why I say, let's look at history. Those people were left out. Mm. Then you got this Roman guy, what's his name?
Constantine.
Constantine, who saw the cross
on the road to Damascus.
Yes. And then he said, okay, well, if this helps me with this fight, I'll become a Christian.
Sure. So what he did is he split the Roman Empire in half. He said, Maxentius, in the west, you can keep worshipping the pagan gods.
Yes.
And on this side, on the east, because my mother's a lunatic religious nut.
You Helen, or his?
No, Helen's mother, Constantine's mother, Helen, who was scouring Jerusalem already at that point to find relics.
Fuck nut.
Right. Well, she was a lunatic. I mean, she was the most extreme kind of religious person. If she were around today, she'd be in the Taliban. And because of her,
to be wearing a Taliban.
Constantine looked at this and he said, well, if my own mother can be persuaded by this stuff, and so many common people in my empire seem to be susceptible to it, if I take it on, then I save myself the trouble of having to keep them chawursam. So I can worry less about controlling the ordinary people and worry more about expanding my empire and the armies and growing the wealth of this empire, which is a good political move. So he decided to adopt Christianity as the official state religion.
He did. But remember now what we mentioned earlier, in those times, what they had, the series channel, the entertainment of those days on television was stories they were telling one another.
Or the circus, which is a very nasty, violent place, but
people can be so cruel. Yeah. But anyway, so they're telling stories. And now there is, of course, the story of Horus that you know.
Horus was the 5,000 son of Osiris and Isis, the
That's
Egyptian
right.
god who later became god of the dead.
Born of a what?
And goddess of magic.
He was born of a what?
A slit in her side.
No,
in
a
the side
virgin.
Of Isis. Yes,
he was born of a
Isis,
virgin.
Of Isis. But through a slit in her side. Never the vagina. It seems that the vagina is a one-way passage. It's a very dangerous thing. You don't want to bring the vagina into.
Yeah. Born in a manja, not in a minja.
Right.
And then what happened?
His
birthday was when? The
25th of December.
That's right.
Which in the Northern Hemisphere is it's around the time of the solstice.
And when he was born, who came to visit him? Three wise men.
Three wise men. Look, it's the same for...
That's my point.
Same for Zoroaster. It's the same for all the...
That's my point. Stories were going around. So you get a Reader's Digest version that fit a specific couple of people at a specific time, and it becomes the gospel truth. But this Constantine and Theodosius and all those people then came together, and this is what people don't know. They decided exactly how this whole God thing is going to work.
Yeah, they decided
the
which
Father,
books.
The Son, and the Trinity, and the
also,
this, because no one understands it. If you say if God is one and three, you go, I can't quite understand it, because it was forced there, and that, what's that thing called, the meeting they had? The nicest what?
The what?
That meeting with all the...
Nicene.
Not that Nicene.
The Congress of Nicaea or something.
That was
that
all
effect, yeah.
Thrashed out there by these strange Romans. And remember, they decided what books go into the Bible, what books go out of the Bible. Yes. And later the Protestants took a few books
Council
as well.
Council of Nicaea, sorry.
That's Council, right. That's... So it is all fabricated.
Well, look, they decided what they wanted to keep in the mythology and what they wanted to throw out.
So isn't that fabricated?
It's designed.
Yeah.
It's designed. Because there were parts of perhaps some of the Gospels that didn't fit with controlling.
No, and women was like a horse, so the vrouwe is altijd fucking baie laag in die Bible.
I always find it very odd that women in particular are willing to take on this stuff when they're always given a second-class role in any kind of old male-dominated religious society. To me, it's just deeply insulting to women. All of this is. All religions. A lot of them.
So what I'm trying to say, and I think you'd agree with me, what I said right at the beginning is, have respect for these facts that did happen. Don't look at us as if we are lunatics when we are telling the truth of humans and how they fabricated things to live better, to feel better. For no reason whatsoever, I want everyone to be an atheist, because most people cannot carry that knowledge. They will fuck it up. They will murder each other.
Because you sound like Richard Dawkins then, and you start saying that certain people are bright and other people are not.
Some people are bright and other are not, of course.
Yeah, but there are a lot of religious people who are very bright.
Yes, but you also get people in bushes, running around, and they are praying to 500 gods.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Do you ever feel in your life, you've obviously dealt with some ups and downs where you've been low, you felt like you were alone, you felt like shit was raining down on you, things were not going your way, you were very isolated and depressed. It happens to every human.
It happens to every man, every woman.
Did you ever at that point feel like your life might have been a bit easier if you could appeal to some higher power?
That's the easy way out.
But you did think it. I mean, you felt it. It's very
I analyzed it because I can see in other people, Gareth, that they want a father to look after them. That is why it becomes so childish and one-dimensional in religion, where people say, there's a big daddy looking out for us and he's planning our lives for us. It's not. The future has got thousands of options ahead of it. And it's just by luck that things happen the way that nothing is planned. There's not a father with a beard and then his son and they're all the same and then there's like a fucking Holy Ghost as well. It doesn't make sense.
Well, it's easier for you. You've thought this through. You've done the homework.
But that's why I say have respect for me.
Well, you can't ever demand respect. You know this better than anyone else.
I respect religious people if they respect me.
Don't demand respect and don't give it.
Why are you fighting me?
I'm saying that I reserve the right to ridicule something I don't think is real. I reserve that right. I won't always ridicule it. Sometimes if I respect the person, I will take a lighter approach on it, especially if it's a friend of mine. I have loads of friends who are very good people, who I love dearly, who I think have really crazy ideas. I suppose none of them are as extreme as being a cannibal or thinking that murder is okay. But if they think something is true and it's just patently not, I might tell them that I think that they're full of it. Or I might decide to just let it go because it doesn't really make a difference to me. The same way as your atheism doesn't make a difference to them most of the time.
Yes.
The problem, though, is that many religious people view your lack of belief as something they can't tolerate and live with. It's something that they need.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, correct. Because it threatens their entire
existence,
their entire structure.
The whole meaning of their life.
And every time you open your mouth, they feel like it's a threat.
But we are trying to say that your life has got lots of meaning, that the universe is awesome, that we are also totally in awe of nature and what is happening, and where we come from, and where we're going to. If you look up in the sky,
the miracle
is fantastic. It's not as if atheists are these dumb, non-deep people. They are actually thinkers.
I love living. And you know what? Every moment I spend, including the time I'm spending here with you now, I only have this. I don't have an afterlife.
No.
You may believe you have one, and maybe you do. Who knows? I have now, and that's why every moment I spend with you is probably more valuable philosophically to me than it is to you if you believe you'll live forever. I don't think I'll live forever. I'm going to be put in the ground one day. It might be soon. It might be later. But eventually, I'm going to go. All I've got, Simba, Alicia, Hannes, Casper, Jeffrey, is now. The fact that I'm with you now matters more to me than it does if you're a believer who thinks you have more time. And life is the miracle, not the afterlife. This, what we have now, the fact that we exist, that your parents bred you into existence is a miracle, because you're one of those millions of sperm
that
could have made it in there.
God didn't make you. It was a sperm. It's science.
Now, your parents made you.
Your ancestors made you.
And they were made by their ancestor. But the chance of you going extinct in any of those lines is very, very great.
That is why I always say, when people say, yeah, it's a God-given talent, I say, no, it's not. It wasn't a talent that was sort of meted out to me. That is, my forefathers lived thousands and thousands of years to bring me where I am today. And thanks to them, I have the talents I have.
Do you think they'd be pleased with
real.
You think they'd be
happy
with me?
That is the reality. That is reality. You know, let's play Thought of the Week. I've got a thought here that just discuss this because it's really apt. Let's play it.
Here is the thought of the week.
You know, Sam Harris, you might know, you might read his stuff. And what he says here is exactly how I feel sometimes. So we cannot always feel like this, but let me explain the frustration sometimes. He says, as an atheist, I am angry that we live in a society in which the plain truth cannot be spoken without offending 90,000% of the population. Huh?
Sam,
it is.
Sam Harris is brilliant. He is a neuroscientist.
But that's why I say, look at history. We are not making this stuff up. You can see the evolution of religion, even if you don't believe
but
in evolution. It evolved from lots of gods to one, to where we are today. Still 2,000 gods out there, but don't be so self-centered and think, it's just Christian. No, they're the most, and then Islam.
Fair enough. I'm not going to fight you on this, but I have learnt in my interactions with religious and irreligious people that sometimes your desire to be right.
But I am right.
Well, this is the point. Now, you see, when you postulate that you're always right about something.
I'm not always right.
But if you say you're right on this, because the fact is,
of course I'm right.
You can't disprove a God.
But you can't prove it either.
But that's the point. So accept the position that is sensible. The scientist's position is that at the moment, the theories that have been proposed by other people have been torn to pieces, and they're mostly in tatters. So the chance of the Christian God or the Jewish God or the Islamic God or any other God that was postulated by the ancient religions is pretty much zero. But the possibility that there is something else that we can't explain, that we don't know, is a possibility. However small or great that possibility is, that would be the scientist's position. You become a religious person when you decide that you're going to prove that point without any evidence.
Yes, without evidence.
You remain a rational person as long as you only accept evidence.
Yes. Well, and then before you know it, you are inside a world that you must look out of. You must go out of yourself to look into it, because now you are praying and actually crawling in front of this power who you always say is so fantastic and so wonderful. And he's just the best. And the Big Bang Theory is a load of cuck. But this one single life, with no brothers or sisters or before or what the fuck, just happened to happen. But this is now, I can prove that. But the Big Bang, no, that's a fairy tale story. I'm sorry.
Were you ever religious when you were a kid?
I always questioning. But the thing is, my mother's always very religious, and we talk like this. We are very open.
Does she get upset with you when you tell her, for example, that when she dies, you don't believe you'll ever see her again?
I tell her she's going to rot in the ground. And she does. She says, I'm going to see.
Does she cry?
No. She said, maybe, but I believe I will meet you, Father, again. I said, well, fuck, good luck for an eternity. And I will meet you. You know, and that's the other thing about heaven, because if you look at all these, especially the Christian Swedish poop people, I don't want to spend eternity with them. They can go fuck themselves. Lekker op een wolk. Listen, I just quickly want to play a song before we run out, because this is absolutely fantastic.
Hey,
a lot of people believe also in healing. Not sexual healing. You go and you heal someone.
Oh, you know, miraculous healing.
Yeah, religious.
So that someone in a wheelchair can suddenly walk.
Yeah, a real religious thing. But they don't go to hospitals to cure people there. They sort of go to church, and you go, like this guy in, where was he? In Africa. You had to stay there for a week.
TB Joshua.
Yeah, to Joshua. Oh, are you still awake, people?
TB Jakes.
Simba, are you here?
I'm here.
Okay, because our whole congregation got very quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeffrey's also, and we must talk
about, because we're all Christian.
Oh, don't be cross, Christian. Listen, Tim Minchin wrote a wonderful song that he spoke to someone who said, listen, you mock us and everything. I can tell you that my mother went to a church. What's that guy's name?
Sam.
Sam's mother went to a church and she got a cataract, fucking prayed right. Am I right?
Yes.
Prayed right. Yeah. And so that got him thinking, and he wrote this beautiful, beautiful song about Sam's mum. It's to mention a guy I really admire. Listen to the words. Very, very good. Very funny, and it makes you think. Now he says, okay, I'm thinking about these...
I have an apology to make.
These healings.
I'm afraid I've made a big mistake.
Maybe he made a mistake.
Turn my face away from you, God. I was too blind to see the light. I was too weak to feel your might. I closed my eyes, I couldn't see the truth, Lord. But then like Saul on the Damascus road, you sent a messenger to me, and so now I've had the truth revealed to me. Please forgive me all those things I said. I no longer betray you, Lord. I will pray to you instead. And I will say thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for fixing the cataracts of Sam's mum. I had no idea, but it's suddenly so clear. Now I feel such a cynic. How could I have been so dumb? Thank you for displaying how praying works, a particular prayer in a particular church. Thank you, Sam, for the chance to acknowledge this omnipotent ophthalmologist. Thank you, God, for fixing the cataracts of Sam's mum. I didn't realize that it was so simple, but you've shown a great example of just how it can be done. You only need to pray in a particular spot to a particular version of a particular God. And if you pull that off without a hitch, he will fix one eye of one middle-class white bitch. I know in the past my outlook has been limited. I couldn't see examples of where life had been diminished. But I can admit it when the evidence is clear as Sam's mom's new cornea. Extremely clear. Thank you, God, for fixing the cataracts of Sam's mum. I have to admit that in the past I have been skeptical, but Sam described this miracle and I am overcome. How fitting that the sighting of a sight-based intervention should open my eyes to this exciting new dimension. It's like someone put an eye chart up in front of me and the top five letters say ICGOD. Thank you, Sam, for showing how my point of view has been so flawed. I assumed there was no God at all, but now I see that's cynical. It's simply that his interests aren't particularly broad. He's largely undiverted by the starving masses or the inequality between the various classes. He gives out strictly limited passes, redeemable for surgery or two-for-one glasses. I feel so shocking for historically mocking you. Your interests are clearly confined to the ocular. I bet given the chance, you just chew the divine and start a little business selling contacts online. Fuck me, Sam, what are the odds that of history's endless parade of gods, of the god you just happen to be taught to believe in is the actual one, and he digs on healing, but not the AIDS-ridden African nations, nor the victims of the plague, nor the flood-addled Asians, but healthy, privately insured Australians with common and curable corneal degeneration. The story of Sam's is but a single explanation. A surgical god who digs on magic operations. No, it couldn't be mistaken attribution of causation. Born of a coincidental temporal correlation. Exacerbated by a general lack of education. Vis-a-vis physics in Sam's parish congregation. And it couldn't be that all these pious people are liars. Couldn't be an artifact of confirmation bias. A product of groupthink, a mass delusion. An emperor's new clothes-style fear of exclusion. No, it's more likely to be an all-powerful magician than the misdiagnosis of the initial condition. Or one of many cases of spontaneous remission. Or a record-keeping glitch by the local physician. No, the only explanation for Sam's mum's scene. They prayed to an all-knowing super being, to the omnipresent master of the universe. And he quite liked the sound of their muttered verse. So for a bit of a change from his usual stunt of being a sexist, racist, murderous cunt, he popped down to Dandenong and just like that used his powers to heal the cataracts of Sam's mum. Oh, Sam's mum. Oh. Thank you, God, for fixing the cataracts of Sam's mum. Such a simple thing, I feel such a dealing, what ignorant scum. Now I understand how prayer can work, a particular
particular prayer in a particular church in a particular style with a particular stuff and for particular problems that aren't particularly tough and for particular people, preferably white and for particular senses, preferably sight, a particular prayer in a particular spot to a particular version of a particular God. And if you get that right, be just mine. Take a break from giving babies malaria and pop down to your local area to fix the cataracts of your mum.
Jono says on WeChat, thank you, Casper and Gareth. I grew up as a son of a minister, and therefore church and religion is just accepted. I think each person needs to find what works for them. He says, when somebody asks why I'm not Christian, I say, the reason you don't believe in the other 3,000 religions is the same reason I don't believe in yours.
And what is important as well, Gareth, we must make this clear, because people are very naive. Atheism has got nothing to do with Satanism or dark powers or any of that cuck, which is also thought out by Christians, basically. There is no Satan. There is no hell. And being an atheist has got nothing to do with that. Because you do get people that say, yeah, but Gareth, you saw that on one of these fucking websites, Gareth and Cosper is the Antichrist.
Well, what a powerful position to elevate us to. I didn't think I was that important.
I wish I could fly and fucking... you know, just wave my arm and have a Coke.
Look, it's all just ridiculous, because this stuff has fueled wars and caused huge amounts of human suffering. We must stop this. We must grow out of the infancy of our human species' philosophy and evolve to the next sensible position.
That's exactly where we are. You said you hit the nail on the cross, and that is we are children still. Human beings are children with all kinds of stories telling themselves that. But we are just beginning. The fact that we are here, it's 25,000 years. You know how many billions we still have to go? 5 billion.
Well, not all that much time. The sun's going to destroy
every trace of us.
Yeah, it's all coming. So.
But by that time, we'll be on other planets. And
if we're quick enough, if we believe in how we could come up with new ideas.
We've got billions of years, Gareth.
This way we're ruining this earth, I don't know.
So all I'm saying is respect people who have a view that there is no God, because they might have thought about it. It's not just something you brandish about to be otherwise, to be a rebel. It's actually people who thought.
The Casper Radio Show.
It's a cozy table, isn't it?
And champagne, my dear.
Delicious.
You like it?
Delicious.
I like it too. Yes, I do like it.
Delicious.
Yes, it is. You want some more?
Delicious.
I knew you'd like it. You always.
Delicious.
Oh, have some more. Get the waiter and comrade. Put on the paper hat. Get out the lamp. I even like the cork. Waiter, waiter, four. Keep pouring. Every night, New Year's Eve. You got it, every night we're gonna do this. I don't care. Lose the job every day. What are you gonna do? Scabadoo!
The Casper Radio Show.
It's quite beautiful out here, hey Jack? Yours, lekker. Wow, nice view. Spectacular.
Oh,
what's wrong, Jack?
Look, I don't know. I don't feel well. Oh.
Jack! Oh my God! Where's the phone now?
Hello, emergency hotline?
Yes, hello. We're somewhere on a walking trail, and my friend collapsed. I don't know whether it's a snake or whether he had a heart attack. I don't know.
Okay. Now relax. Just breathe in and breathe out. Okay. Now what I want you to do...
Yes.
Just go to your friend and make sure he's dead.
Okay, just hang on. Jack. Jack! Hi. Yeah, okay, now he's dead.
That's funny, eh, Zimba?
It was.
You see, I can be funny.
Yeah, you can. No, well, most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, but you sit there and you don't know what I'm saying. So I did that in English just for you.
No, thank you so
much. And I've got
so
another one that we'll play later. But now it's time for our...
Is it extra! Extra! Extra!
Extra times three. Large, special guest.
Special!
With large, I mean humongous, in like a star.
Presence.
Yeah. And to give you a clue, people, now remember you can phone in, ask her questions, tweet, WeChat, what's the fucking thing's name? WeChat, eh?
Yeah, WeChat. Yeah,
you can do all those things, but here is your clue, who is in the building?
Woo! Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, passengers by the name of Elliot traveling to Miami on the BA293. Please proceed to gate number 3 where this aircraft is now waiting to depart.
We said goodbye, I boarded at gate 9. You phoned again while I stood there in the line. She gave me a hand and showed me to my seat. Alas, woe is me, no place for my feet. Quietly I go insane on this lonely aeroplane. Everybody looks the same on a lonely aeroplane. And this strange man next to me, don't say excuse me when he sneezes. Someone come and save me, please. I think that he just cut the cheese.
Yes, we are indeed, and I am sending a tweet as we speak, because Karen Zoid is in our studio.
Woo!
Live.
Woo!
Yes, hello, yay! Karen. Thank you, yay, for being here. Thank you for being here. Because it just worked. Isn't that fantastic how it worked out? You had a show last night, and I saw that, and I said, please come to my show. And you did.
There's no mic. There I am. Hello.
There's Jeffrey.
Hello,
Jeffrey. He used to work here. Harley, is she on air now?
Yes.
And on what are you? You're on your last
Savannah
warning. Savannah. Thank you for being here. So, and it's net toevallig dat ek nou last week op jou show, because you now got a chat show on CakeNet. How do you feel about doing a chat show? Are you enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it. I'm actually finished. We shot it, so we're editing it,
yeah,
and we're putting it out there, and so far so good. Yeah?
But did you enjoy the experience?
Yes, very yeah much. I mean, I thought the plan was to chat to people that I like and admire. A lot of them were people that I know very
so
well.
I was one of them.
You're amazing. Definitely number one. I mean, I just had the opportunity to speak to other people that I've just admired from afar, people like Devi Govender, wat ongelooflik snaaks is, wat mense sien altyd as 'n obviously baie ernstige persoon met 'n horrible job het daar by.
Maar het jy geweet hy snaaks?
Devi, nie die girl, Devi van Carte Blanche, Devi Govender, Sankari Govender.
Oh, sorry.
Amazing person.
Is dit nie met die kolletjie tussen die fucking oë?
Yeah,
I love her. I love her. I actually did an interview with her about MTN charging me 30,000 rand, and she came, and she's like a fiery little chilly parcel, eh?
She's amazing.
But I didn't know she was funny.
Very funny, doesn't take herself serious at all.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Great mother, just like amazing person. You would love her.
Okay. And you, because why I'm asking you if you're enjoying it is because I also sort of just changed directions all of a sudden and decided that I want to paint and I want to do this radio show when it came along. It just came along at the right moment. I just so enjoy it. And I wondered if you also are you happy that you did this? And do you want to continue with that? Because, I mean, you are a rock chick, but this is a new experience for you because you are also funny.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You like being funny.
I like being funny, but I don't think sometimes people laugh at me when I'm not joking.
Well, that's a good sign.
Which is bad.
That means you are funny.
It doesn't
funny
make me feel nice, but I've gotten used to it over the years.
But they can just a natural.
Nee, maar die ding is, kan ek maar bietjie Afrikaans praat met my oor? Praat ons mas.
Hoi man, like Zimba is saying, yeah, he doesn't know what the hell you're saying.
No, you so don't just understand. Okay. Yeah, and I mean, the thing with the chat show was, I thought it was going to be this like fun thing, you know, and I'll have all these like cool people around, we'll talk about stuff and joke around. But it was one of the most enriching experiences of my life. Mm-hmm. We live in a country where people are freaking out. You know, we've got crazy things happening all the time, you know, in our socially and in our political environment. And so I just had all these amazing people on that are positive, go-getters, achievers, overachievers, most of them. And it was just inspiring. They touched me, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I wasn't prepared for that. We cried often on the show, and it was just great. And it's just you as well. I mean, Casper is one of those guys. He's just an amazing businessman, and people don't associate that with him when they see him. He's a comedian. He's a funny guy. But he runs his business like freaking Bill Gates. One of the role models, one of the fathers, you know, in the entertainment industry.
But we didn't cry about that.
Hey. No, we did. I cry because I want to be like you, and I'm not.
I want to be like you. Now, years and years ago, Ms. Zoid, we did a show called the Casper Rasper Show, and you were my legend and idol. And then we did a sketch together. So, because before that, didn't we used to play around and just on our own cameras do sketches and stuff?
Yes.
I remember that faintly.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, yeah. That was years ago.
We had a friend, Michelle Negrini.
Did she record
and
us?
No, what happened is you planned a trip to America and so did I, and it happened that we went over the same time, and his best friend is also one of my best friends. En toen was al twee op pad Amerika toe, Disney World toe, en we made a little video for it to rub it in. And we pretended to be in Disney World, and we had like little Mickey Mouse toys and Donald, and with fake American accents.
I
was sent it to her, and then we went on holiday.
Have you still got it somewhere?
She's got it. She's got it. We sent it to her.
You must listen to that. Because I've got the sketch here from the Casper Rasper show, just on audio, but this is the sketch we did, and I think I also referred to the Disney World thing. It's so many years ago. But listen to this. You and I are old now. This is 20, what's the name, 50 or whatever, and we are in an old age home called Hayes Najaar, and we'll say Najaar a couple of times, and you'll get the joke. And here we go.
Hey, Casper.
Ja? Moet ek gaan? Moet ek tasse pak?
Casper.
Ek hoor 'n engel roep my. Hi, is jy? Wil jy my aankom nie?
Karen, man, is Karen.
Karen! Karen Wessels, my fok.
Nee, Karen.
Karen Hougaard, my fok.
Nee, Karen Zooi.
Karen Zooi. Die rock chick, my fok. Ik heb zo lang klas gezien haar, man. En haar fok my nieren. My pancreas wil nie meer. Wanneer het jy hier aangekom? Ek het jou nog nie van tevore hier gesien by huis Najaar nie.
Nee, hulle het net vandag gekom aflaai. Die band sê, hulle gaan eerder vir Stepie Ster kry om te sing. Ek kan nie meer so lekker hoor nie.
Sal met my kar, jy weet. Een dag net toe vat hulle chloroform, druk het in my gesig. En toe ek weer sien, toe word ek wakker in die ouwe thuis, het hulle my onder protes kom inboek.
En wanneer was dit nou gewees?
20 jaar gelede, na my laaste controversiële episode, onthou jy daai episode van die Casper Rasper show, wat allemaal op
hoog. Daai een waar jy geflash
het? Ek het gewys, ja. Ek het eers gaan probeer, by Disney World Political Asylum kry, maar Mickey ken my toe mos nou nie meer. Sê, Mickey, dis ou Casper, ek is elke jaar hier. Nee, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go back to
Please your keep own. Keep your arms and knees inside the car at all times.
And no flash photography. Ek weet, dis ek terug. En sê, die ding sit ek nou maar hier.
Maar hy Casper Rasper show van jou destijds was daar maar bevokkeld.
Dankie, Karin. Jy weet nou nog, klein sinkies en dogtertjies kom hulle op na my, dan skree hulle vir my, shut the fuck, shut the fuck, wat doe jy?
Maar Casper, ons was groot op ons tyd.
Ek onthou jou in 2004, toe jy die Top of the Pops in Engeland storm in hand verower het, met die Afrikaners is besierig, jy het ons betaal, ja. Hoe dit heb jy in Engels gegaan?
Afrikaners is plezierig, dat kan hulle gloon. Hulle hoop partake is, en dan maak hulle groen. En dan maak hulle groen.
Dij my, dij nog nie aan my, fuck jou nou. Maar kijk, jy jou Grammys, ek was trots op jou.
Onthou jy jou Oscar?
Jy ek onthou hom soos gister. 2020 het ek 'n Oscar gekry vir The Julie Else Story.
Ja. Ek het nog 'n soundtrack gedoen.
Ek weet, jy het daai songs gedoen. Fantasties,
man. Nou, hoor ek is nou jammer dat ek jou nou hier so omkant gevang het. Ek het gesien jy was op pad iewers heen.
Weet jy, ek wou gaan pee. Maar sedert 'n minuut gelede is nie meer vir my nodig om te pee nie. Ek het nou 'n lekker warm gevoel hier by jou. Ek het gegaan.
Dit maak nie regtig.
Dit maak nie regtig saak nie. Jy weet hierdie dinge. Is lekker om jou weer te sien.
Ja, ek vir jou ook. En ek maak
Steve, daar is 25 kleinkinders by ontvangs. Oh, dit is vir oupa Steve. Dit was oulik.
Yes, ek nou dit.
Dit is jare terug, hoor. Dit is, ek dink dit is 11 jaar terug. So baie van die dinge, soos die Uriel story, is quite funny because nothing happened to him yet, but now it has.
Well, he moved to Australia.
Ja, yeah, or New Zealand, actually. New Australia Zealand. Didn't want him.
En die huisgenoot het om gaan soek.
Ja, so. Hy is nou op die voorblad.
Ja, is hy op die voorblad?
Hy is hier week op die voorblad van jou nietste huisgenoot.
Oor wat? Wat is die story dan?
Hy sê hy sing nou voor supermarkte.
In Australië.
Maar dit was so toe hy was ook.
Dit was precies dit was so. Precies. Ek het hom eindste voor Pick n Pay gekry.
Ja, he was always in front of Spa.
Yes.
And then people went by en koop hulle worsrol en luister.
En Yuri Elsie.
En dan sing hy. Nie, hulle koop het nie, hulle luister net na hom en dan kots hulle die worsrol uit. En ja, het was uit. But why I'm playing this sketch as well is because you have a wonderful sense of humor and you also do improvisational shows and in your Kasper Zoid, in your Karen Zoid, what's your show? Republic of Zoid Africa, that's what it's called. You also do sketches, which yeah. I think is very funny. I get my not gemaakt for Hol Rita and Ilig or whatever that one character you did. I hope you do a lot of that character.
Well, actually next week, Davy Govender doen 'n expose, want Marinda Senekal wat die Holry te CD gemaak het, het dit te belewe wat sy like.
O, fantasties, okay.
So we have a carte blanche expose on
it. See, I don't have DSTV, I have Why? Apple TV. Because I...
Such a rebel, Interweb Radio.
Yeah, I'm ahead of my, and ahead and of Apple my, not TV, of my time. It. Yeah, it's an Apple TV, so you can watch a lot of stuff, but you can't watch local stuff. So I'm still trying to work that out. So I haven't seen your show yet, but I will. But what I'm actually trying to say is next time you do go on with series 2, and you don't have to ever interview me again. I did it with love for you, but just use me in one of your sketches, because we haven't acted again. Why didn't you fucking use me?
Well, I thought you didn't want to.
No.
I thought you retired. There's been rumors floating around like you don't want to go on stage anymore.
Yeah,
you
don't want to be on stage, TV. Honey.
Why?
I don't want to do one-man shows anymore. That's all. I'm just tired of that. You see, so as this businessman you are humiling me up as, that's a very stupid decision to do, is to cut off your whole existence and go into a new line. But I can tell you, Karen, I've never been happier in my life. And I will do a one-man show again one day. But now I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of preetse fucking mense wat daar eiertjie te lê. I don't want to perform to them. So I want them to go away and die or whatever. And then, or just grow away.
And then,
or grow away from me. And then
taking
I'll be,
so long.
Yeah. But actually, the thing of going on stage, just I didn't want to do it anymore. You still do that. So imagine you go on stage and you gaan, ach, nee, ek wil nie hier staan nie. That's what I felt. And that's why I do this. This is the radio show. I love it. Paintings, I love. And that's why I say I love that you do this new stuff now, like the chat show. And if you enjoy it, that's a very good sign. And you're funny. But we haven't... When next time you do an improv show, also invite me, because I love improv and I would like to do it with you. I'd like to do it with you.
Let's do it.
I think maybe we should improv something. No, I'll look it up. Yeah, okay. I've got some. But first, Karen, ons het elke week a quiz. This is QI van Stephen Fry, but it's just more difficult.
Ooh.
And I know you like games. We talked about that and we've always played games. And you and I, ons is fucking vreselijk. Competerend. But now we don't compete against one another because I will ask the questions, but you're going to compete against Simba and Alicia.
Simba.
Hey.
What? Where's Simba's noise? I haven't got it anymore. Where's my Leo key?
We're going to have problems. That's an elephant.
No, man. That's a lion with a plascock. Listen now. So we're going to play Musing Muse. That's the quiz soundtrack.
Okay. Yeehaw!
Why are you riding the volume like that, Jeffrey? Okay, so you must take score, hey?
I'm reading that. 3 points.
Keep score. Yeah, you, but and she's minus 100, remember?
Yeah, minus 5. Yeah, minus
5.
100.
Play me that excerpt from that movie first. Listen to this, people. Don't say anything. Listen to this.
Okay. Yep. I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Okay, so... Ah, Karen, Where's that from?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Wow.
No.
You see this?
No.
It's competition for you people.
I'm launching an investigation into this.
It's a classic movie though. I think I've seen it 20 or 30 times.
So did I. I watched it. I was in love with Matthew Broderick to begin
with.
Yeah,
everybody was.
Yeah, he was so prachtig. And then
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Have you seen it?
No, man.
It is a classic cult movie.
Yeah, do yourself a favor.
A must.
I'm sure it'll be on YouTube or something. It's so old. Okay. It's a classic when I was young. Matthew Broderick's the same age as me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was my age group.
It's about a guy that bunks school. He's a professional bunker. He's been bunking school for the entire year. And then everything starts falling apart. The movie starts there. It's great. Great.
It's very funny.
Great.
The question actually is, I mean, although Karen has got a few points, the question is, what's the name of the actress who played his girlfriend?
Okay, now we both know we're out. We're out.
You remember his girlfriend?
It's between Hannes and Karen.
I'm going to IMDb it.
No, you can't IMDb. No, you're sitting there with the thingy, so you're out. You're out.
Okay,
but it's actually Maya Sara.
Waar ja, sy?
Nee, wie is dit?
Sy was die girl, maar ons kan haar nie onthou nie, nee, want ek kon haar ook nie onthou nie.
Maya Sara.
Ja, sy was die girlfriend wat
Maya Sara.
They end up in some kind of a float procession and he dances for her and she's laughing. But she was sort of a side vibe because he also took his best bro with him. And we remember him.
Yeah.
That's the guy who said he's so I think Matthew Broderick said he's so tight, you put a coal up his ass and it becomes a diamond. So I remember. He's so tied up or whatever. Wow. Anyway, the actual question is, she played in a movie called Time Cop. Is that not like Cock van Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Think so.
I think so, Time Cop.
Time Cop. Yeah, that's one of those crappy movies.
That was a big, big movie where she was like, and then she faded into darkness. Sure. But why I want to talk to her is, it's so interesting. There's no more questions because you won't know this. But if you do, somebody, if you know this question, I will give you 1 million rand. Not Zimbabwean rand.
Yeah.
Real rands, like South African ones.
With who has she got a child?
Steven Stallone.
Leave me Stallone.
No, what's it? Hey, man, this damn.
Savannah. You're slurring.
Yeah. Hey, it's a problem.
She's got a child, but she is like, I don't know what you would call this. Let's get a word for this. She's got a child with Sean Connery's son.
What?
And she's got a child with Jim Henson's son.
So she's got a thing for the son.
Yeah, so what do you call that?
She was trying to get to the dads. So she was stepping up the ladder.
Stepping up, yeah.
Yes, and then, you know, it just ended there.
But she's obviously a slut because she's got a child with every fucking famous guy's son.
Oh, but it's like her, man.
Yeah, but.
What?
I like you in James Bond.
But you know the rumor about I don't know why I know this, but Sean Connery apparently is one of the most endowed men in the world.
Is that?
I read it in some trashy 009. Magazine. He was like in the top 10.
Oh, 007. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. So she was after that. So because a lot of times maybe the son gets the DNA of the peepee. Verstaan jy nou?
Nou verstaan ek.
Ja,
yes, yes.
Kry nog eens 'n wannetjie vir jou.
Nee, ek is
ek hoor like jou hare. Jy sit hier soms soos 'n fucking.
I told you she's been undressing when you're not looking.
I know, I've seen that. Okay, here we go. Movies.
Yay.
No, wait now. This you're not going to know this. If you think of, we had movies about, what's his face? The blind one, Georgia?
Ray Charles.
Yeah. Ray Charles.
Who played him again?
Jamie Foxx.
You can't play Amanas.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, he said, give him 3 points.
Thank you.
But it's not the question.
Then it's 3 points, then it's 1 point. Then
it's me. I'm the adjudicator here.
Don't complain. I'm like on 10 points now.
So it's like full goeie
color. You're on zero.
Now listen. yeah, but listen now. So a lot of people, famous people, movies were made about. Who can you think of that actually is worth a movie that. But there's not a movie where was not, but actually so for the hand liggend is.
So who's worth a movie that doesn't have a movie yet?
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that, Simba. Yes. Two points for him because I spoke Afrikaans.
I would say Robert Mugabe.
No, man. We talk. Oh, no, please.
That's not a bad idea.
That'll be a
documentary. No, it's a Big Brother.
In the beginning of his career, it was very inspirational.
No, I know. I'm teasing you.
What was the movie that won the Oscar? About Sivambo or what?
Sivambo.
The King's. What's
that
guy's name?
Idi Amin.
The Bunny
Eye. Yeah, that's Forrest.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker.
3 points to me. 3 points to me.
Forrest Whitaker.
Uganda.
Yes, Forrest Whitaker.
That guy.
That's his movie synonym.
Uganda. The King of Scotland.
Last King of Scotland.
Yeah. You had one. Yeah. I mean, and that was a good one. I mean, he was the same thing like old Bob.
No, did we? But I'm talking about singers.
No, but it would be a great movie.
Okay. Yeah, it would be a great movie. And he is from Zimbabwe, so he's got this Robert Mugabe fucking
fetish.
Fixation.
Fetish.
Yeah, he's the best president in the whole wide world.
Oh, my.
Hogan Tsvangirai. Hogan Tsvangirai.
300 points off Simba, please.
Yeah,
No. Listen, I'm talking about singers.
Oh, singers.
So that's why I said Georgia, that guy. James,
okay,
what's
so
his name? Who,
Jamie Foxx.
I would say then...
what singer haven't we got a very good movie about yet? That is so voor die hand liggend. I don't know what you say.
Like,
it's
who's really good?
In front of the hand. It's so in front
Elton
of the hand,
John.
Simba.
Elton John.
Yeah, that
Elton
is...
Elton John.
Elton John. And also, yes! I would go local and say Hugh Masekela.
You or me, Masekela?
Yeah!
That's a joke. I'm playing with the words.
That wouldn't be half as entertaining as a movie about Brenda Fassie's life.
But I think if he had, like, I mean, Hugh used to beat a person in Miriam Makeba. He had that whole drama with his drugs.
Yes, we got five movies going.
So it'll be very interesting.
Producers out there, you listen. We got so many stories with local people. Wow. And you make cuck like Mora is ons getrouwd.
And then they make that rubbish one about Winnie Mandela. Wow, what a letdown.
Yeah. I haven't seen it with Jennifer Hudson. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, what a letdown.
Is it
really?
Cock?
Was it a car?
Oh, gosh.
Really? Did you
rather buy it off the corner of a street. Mm. That's my opinion.
Why was it?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
But Winnie wasn't happy with it, apparently.
No, as well as, yeah, sure. Because it's so crap.
Yeah.
And she, it was right for her not to be happy.
But listen now. We're off the mark here. So, here's the question. Who's the king of pop?
Michael Jackson.
Yay!
He was married to who?
Oh, that white
Liz
lady.
Mary Presley?
So,
yes, see.
Is that a clue
for
you?
I said the
you?
White lady. I get half points.
So, yeah.
Yay!
But this is my point. So what am I trying to say? There must should be a movie about?
Elvis Presley.
Oh,
yes.
Elvis Presley.
And there is one.
I thought there was one already.
No,
there is one.
That's what I didn't say.
Mini.
Which one was about him?
No,
tell me now.
I've watched one where...
There was a mini-series about him.
Yes. Where you know...
Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
All the blues, you know, that whole thing, you know?
Not like that. You're not like we had three Savannahs.
Bless him, bless him.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis Presley on Savannah. Elvis has vomited in the building.
No, he didn't do that. He went drunk on stage. He performed drunk.
No, he was out
of his
fucking skull.
He was like me.
But listen now, there's a movie about Elvis Presley in the making. Who is the director of Romeo and Juliet and Australia? No, Hannes.
Hannes is... I don't know this.
You know that.
Yeah,
he also made that thing with that song. That song. What's that song movie? Moulin Rouge. Moulin Rouge.
Oh, Moulin Rouge.
Oliver Stone.
Baz Luhrmann.
Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
You don't know him, Alicia.
Yeah, I think it's
she's slurring the right name. Baz Luhrmann.
Just look how she's holding that mic.
So he is making a movie about Elvis Presley. Here is our question after 5 minutes. Who is playing Elvis Presley?
I want to know.
Wow. I think it would be the one of that guy. What's his name? That guy who does Michael Bublé.
No.
He is Shepard Cock.
You can't have jazzy fucking... Well, it's a one for the money.
but I'm sure you could try and go a little bit rock, you know?
Hey. Sorry?
I'm sure you could try and go a little rock.
No, it's a cuck idea.
I think I would cast somebody like Robert Pattinson. Tatum Channing.
It's not him.
He's too in shape for that. Because Elvis wasn't in.
No. But don't think of Elvis as the fat fucking elephant. Remember, he was sexy when he was younger. He was a rebel.
Hmm.
He changed the world. People were throwing his records, breaking their records. They were breaking records of him.
Oh,
remember?
Okay. Oh, before you got.
Yeah. So he was there's
what
someone
the
at
hell?
The fucking window.
Someone. Oh
see
my
then?
God.
Let's take a picture and. Listen. So he was young and sexy. I'll take a some button.
Gaan staan dan en vat 'n selfie saam met hom. Gaan staan dan en vat 'n selfie.
Okay. So yeah. Listen.
Wow, he's standing on a ladder or something.
So. Who has Buzz used in the past in his movies? Let's think.
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. He's not Elvis, though.
Not Elvis.
Oh. He could be a good
Leonardo
Elvis.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Is it?
Yeah.
You got it. No. He's going to play Elvis.
Wow.
Yes. Well done, Karen Zoid. Another 50
Leonardo's
points.
Leonardo's getting it.
Amazing.
Yeah, but you were doing Tweeties.
Yeah.
The poor guy's like washing the window.
No, if he gets an Oscar. Yeah. Get the Oscar.
The guy almost freaked out when he saw
There's
the dog.
There's a Dutch cyclist called Maarten de Jonge. A Dutch is the word here that you must look for in your clue. Why? What happened to him that is quite extraordinary? Because if we think of what happened the past couple of weeks, what has happened the past
Another plane went missing.
Yes?
He died in the plane crash.
Not died, but he is sort of related to the stories.
Mm. His family was in the plane.
No, why would that be news?
No, I forgot that.
But think of extraordinary things that could happen.
Another plane going missing?
I don't know.
Looks like the fashion.
No, but who is this Maarten de Jonge cyclist? He's a cyclist, a Dutch cyclist. You know what? He was booked on both those flights.
And he missed them.
He missed them both.
Wow.
He was booked on the one that is now in the Bermuda Triangle with Lost, the episode of Lost, where we know where the fuck they are.
That's a new season coming out.
Yeah, Lost 5.
With Malaysian Airways.
Truly Asian. So he is, you can have another Savannah now.
Thank you.
He was booked on that flight, so he changed it last minute. Then he was booked on this one that was shut down.
Yeah. Why did he miss the flight?
Yeah.
Last minute plans changed.
So he would have died twice.
But, he would have died twice. So
one?
Final Destination is a movie he should watch over and over again.
Yeah, but the other plane.
What?
The other one that's run by whatever, that also went missing
Algeria.
In Africa.
Algerian.
Did you hear about that one?
What the fuck's happening?
There's someone like, he's like, I'm going to start an airline, but I'm not buying planes.
No.
I'm going to steal them.
Yeah, maybe that is what's happening. It's that Boko Haram dude.
Probably him. He's like, I need planes to take these girls across somewhere.
He's Haram, Boko. Oh, it's like, Boko or that other dude that's now the Muslim guy. ISIS. What the fuck? Die means, sir? What's his name? What's Kakmak in Syria and Iraq? Hamas. Hamas it's that guy.
Yeah.
No, Boko Haram is fucking Africa. I'm talking about this guy who's creating cock in Iraq.
You said it not.
I can't remember his name now. But anyway, maybe he's stealing it. Anyway, that is all nonsense. 9 points for me.
What?
Okay. Here we go. What opened Wednesday evening?
Someone's legs.
Yeah. I was about to say Alicia's legs, but they was open every 5 minutes.
No. What opened on Wednesday? Don't Google it, Simba.
Yeah,
you I'm tweeting.
Cheap.
I'm tweeting.
Karen Zoid. Yes. Over to you.
I don't know. The Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
Glasgow thing. With
25 points to Karen.
And you tweeted that picture. Or you put it on Facebook where?
It's part of the question, Simba. Now, whose picture did I tweet?
Dude's kissing, and you like, "F you, Uganda president." Yeah.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
But who was that guy? That's the question. There was a guy, a Scottish actor, singer, and he's in Torchwood as well, which is a spin-off of Doctor Who, and he kissed another guy, and he liked it, and it was like shown on camera, especially because 42 out of the 53 Commonwealth countries have got gay laws against gays.
Mm.
So the Queen must now strip her mood and say, I'm so sorry, but you have to go now. Or you must allow man on man and pana on pana action. Thank you. So that's why he kissed this guy.
Yeah,
let's tweet that picture. And you tell me who's this guy. Do you know who's in Torchwood, people?
Yeah.
John Barrowman. John Barrowman.
That's a good question, Karen.
Is it
Torchwood, by the way, for interest's sake, is a spin-off of Doctor Who. And if you take Torchwood and you jumble it says Doctor Who.
Ah.
Isn't that funny?
That's mine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's a little bit of fucking useless information. Okay. I want to tweet this picture of John Barrowman. No, you can't. You don't know where it is. I'm scared you're going to tweet some of my intimate pictures. Wait.
Oh.
Ooh.
Okay, we're going to tweet John Barrowman now. Okay, who's in the lead so far?
Well, Karen, by...
What?
Far.
By a million points.
By really far.
whose birthday is July the 31st? And he was born in 1980. Very, very famous.
What?
Think,
William
think.
Shakespeare.
1980,
mama. William Shakespeare. William Shakespeare is a meneer bekende achterklank.
Yeah.
Casper, I say she goes back to Standerton and she gets a full refund on her whole schooling career. I mean, from Songkong gave one ultimate matric. They give the parents back all the money.
Yeah, William Shakespeare or Martin Shakespeare. Like, no, oh, no, very famous. He doesn't exist. It's a character. Hey? It's a character.
Bart Simpson.
1980.
Bart Simpson, that's my guess.
No, he's older, I think.
No, it should be around that age.
Huh?
Oh, Peter Pan's older.
No, Peter Pan is older. They saw much Shakespeare. Oh,
he was in Button.
No.
I'll give you a clue.
Yeah?
J
and
K. Rowling.
Harry Potter.
Is it Harry Potter's verjaardag of haar verjaardag?
Wow, she created
Harry
him in 1980. Harry
Potter's verjaardag op 31 juli en hij is geboren in 1980 voor
oh,
the
oh, in the no. book.
In the book, yeah, oh, the character.
I just meant she started writing.
Yeah,
hij
bestaat niet rarig in Simbal.
Get another Savannah.
Nog je niet.
No, I need to drive when I get out of here. I don't want to crawl out of here.
Pottermore.com. You can go to Pottermore.com and
why?
Then J.K. Rowling had it. Because they had an
why?
Update.
Why?
Have you read Harry Potter?
No.
Don't
why?
Be so proud of that.
I'm proud.
Yeah, and then you told me I need to read more books. Fuck
yeah,
you.
I read fictional, not non-fictional. What the fuck? Yeah, why is
no,
a little
Harry
boy
Potter
writing?
Is wonderful yeah, for the imagination.
I got
so,
crack cocaine for
now.
That.
Pottermore.com, you go, and then you can read about what's happening in their lives now. J.K. Rowling did an update, and people said, well, let's make a movie about it. Everyone was getting all excited. She said, no, not yet. But they're going to at some stage, I'm sure. Okay, so that was that.
Right.
Oh, have you got that footage for us from that band?
I
that
do.
Famous band. Will you play it for us?
Just have a little
you,
bit.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask a question. You know what I mean? Listen. Who is now singing with, not now, Simba?
I was
who
looking.
Are you listening for something?
Yeah, I was like, who's
yeah.
singing now?
What the fuck? Is it Kellen Keller? Who's singing? Who is now singing with Queen.
With Queen?
I know.
Yep.
It's Sir Lambert.
Yes.
Wow.
Yay! Don't be so modest, Karin. You can
wow.
go. I know.
Yay!
Yeah, no, show
yay!
Off. You're allowed to show off, yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing. I don't know what you guys think of
oh,
him.
Oh, I love Adam Lambert.
Like, you couldn't think of anybody else who could replace
no.
Freddie Mercury.
No. I
that's
think
amazing.
That is the perfect guy. Have well, you got course. Some footage of us?
I what? Do.
Of, your, of him
trying
singing.
To line it up.
My okay. song was guy, ne? Yeah, he is.
Morse.
Adam Lambert.
I bedoel, yeah, ook Morse.
He is. Morse.
Referring
so
to who?
Who? Yeah, who's
now,
yeah. Faith.
Yeah, but he's a guy. Icon. Yeah,
guy.
He's an icon.
Yeah, he is. He's beautiful.
He's still human, Alicia.
Yes, yes.
Say it like yes, a creature.
Yes.
Have you got Adam Lambert? They're singing Queen on us.
The internet in here is very slow, so we're trying
fuck
to load
off.
It up.
Fuck. Okay, we go on, but tell me when you got it.
Okay.
Because we can't wait for Adam.
I want to mention, I voor ik ingekom het, ek hoor jy speel a cappella.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Have you ever checked out Walk Off the Earth? Anybody listening?
Yes,
is that an a cappella group?
They acoustic. Do a cappella covers, they do acoustic covers, but they play, they all play different
thing.
Instruments. They did a, yeah, the big initial hits, they did a Gotcha, the Gotcha cover, somebody I used to know, but five or six people playing one guitar and singing. But they do covers of like old stuff. It's amazing.
Walk off the earth.
Walk off the earth.
Walk off the earth.
Loof van die aarde af.
Okay, we all.
Okay, so we have a little bit of Adam Lambert.
An amazing.
Okay, play a bit of Adam. Sounds nice, eh?
Sure, I cry on flies. It's fucking amazing, this.
Well, they're already doing it. They're touring. I hope
wow.
they come here.
Yeah.
Because it's the Queen people. It's yeah. it's Roger Taylor and Brian May. The other one has gone mad.
I
you know
met
that?
Brian May.
May I ask
May
when?
I just tell you that?
When? With the 4664?
The 4664. And I was like, Andy was so nice. Oh, I went up to him and I was like, oh, excuse me, Mr. May. I just wanted to if you have a minute, if I could maybe just take a picture with you. And he was like, yeah, sure, come in. And I went into the dressing room and we had a beer and I met Paul Rogers. I met all of them.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
He's cool. And he's a scientist. He's a guitar.
They all learned people, the Queen people.
Yeah, but he actually invented his own electric guitar. Brian May's guitar has got a fretboard. And any Telecaster or Stratocaster has about 5 or 6 centimeters that go into the body of the guitar. And he and his father designed this guitar where the fretboard is extended. Listen to that.
Because that, the Queen's sound is so unique, it's because of that.
I work long of it, yeah. It's actually a guitar invent. He's not just a virtuoso player. He invented a brand new guitar.
That's wow, that's awesome.
That is very impressive.
You can
and he's into astronomy. He's amazing. Very intelligent man.
You can recognize a Queen guitar, I mean, immediately. So, oh, that's Queen. That's because of that. And then, but the one guy went mad, you know that, John Deacon. The bass player.
Bassist. Is that what happened? Because he's not around.
He's not around. And I wondered as well.
Why?
And apparently he went off his rocker. I don't know why.
He's in an asylum somewhere.
Yes.
Shame.
He's not well. Oh. I don't know why he went crazy. But so he sort of, was...
He just withdrew.
He withdrew. So they got a new bass player. And then this Paul Rogers guy sang as well for them. But now Adam is singing. So...
Much better.
Yeah, I love Adam Lambert.
Adam
it works
awesome.
So well. So you can YouTube that as well, people. YouTube Adam Lambert Queen, and you can see this whole show. It's half an hour show where he sings with Queen, and it's very, very nice. Okay, what's the score so far?
Somebody's in the lead, and Karen after me.
Hannes?
No, actually, Karen's in the lead by about 90 points.
No, yay, man, that's nonsense.
Really?
This thing of being nice to guests.
No, just accept it.
This thing of being nice to guests. Accept and lying it. To
okay, now here's an educated guess. Listen now. Because you're not going to know. If you know it, then you are just fucking amazing.
Okay.
When? I was thinking about this the other night at 2:05 in the morning, and I Googled it. Don't Google now, though. When was the first... Wanneer... I'm was and my words for you. Wanneer...
Het
mense die eerste keer ooit... No, oh, sorry. When did people wear glasses, a pair of glasses, like I'm... For the first time.
1826.
You, Alicia?
1825.
and you, Karen?
Are we talking the
brothers
that had the article, or are we talking as in a pair of glasses?
I think anything.
We were talking about the very, very first glass. Look, let me tell you this. The first glass where people sort of used it to magnify and to burn ants and stuff, they already used 2000
Egyptians.
Before Christian.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
No, it's not that. It is the one where you actually wear it.
Okay,
but 1825 is much too recent. It's long ago.
It's got to be...
Rethink of Renaissance.
Renaissance?
The 1600s.
1600s. 1400s. 1200s.
What?
The 1200s.
And now, what?
Who documents
1215. 18.
Say that in another
1218.
Say
18.
80? Yay! You get the point.
Thank you, Simba.
It's in Italy in 1280 they wore the first glasses.
Is there a name?
And glasses.
No, is there a name who did, like a guy who did, is there someone?
Mr. Pinchum Perry Glassios. No, I don't know. I looked up, they didn't say. They didn't want to fucking say his name. Say my name. They didn't want to.
All right.
But I was just thinking, imagine the first people with glasses, how they would be pointed at. Because it's new.
Yeah.
It's like Google now. You've got the Google Glass. People go, what the fuck? You're off.
Like,
so
cyborg?
They must have thought it's magic with magic powers or something.
Yeah.
Look at that guy. What has he got on his face?
Because back then, I mean, you wouldn't say certain gods' names if you lived in, what's that place?
Italy.
Yeah, whatever. Rome, that side. I mean, like, oh no, Zeus will strike down on you, Greece and stuff.
Yeah. But Zeus was gone then. By
then. No. That's way after them.
But imagine now with glasses, they'll probably think you're witchcraft. You know?
That's what I thought. Yeah, people will think, what's this? Because it's now modern technology. There's no CNN to tell people, breaking news, we now got a pair of glasses. No.
It's like what South Park says about rich people and AIDS.
What's it? What did they say?
Basically, in South Park, they say, if you got money, you'll never die from AIDS, like Magic Johnson.
Yeah, that's mean and so true. Now,
that's irrelevant.
Last question.
I'm just going.
Last question now.
Very irrelevant.
Shut up.
And you will just be quick. Yeah, but Karin's going to know this, I think. Who is Stefani Germanotta?
No, I don't know.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah!
Oh, is that her name?
And our special amusing muse quiz was won by...
Karin.
We are being joined now. We said goodbye to Simba and Alicia because they're outside now. At the
they are drinking. Water.
What drink you?
Water.
Is
it
elke
dag so? Is it so van elke dag?
God dank nie elke dag, nie elke week.
Okay, dis 'n Vrydagmiddag tipe ding, dis 'n ding, okay.
Maar okay, so hulle sit hier buite soos twee stout kinders. En ons is hier binne soos goudvissies. Okay, but sit the mic off, and anders fucking, ons sit dit net aan wanneer ek wil. So, we are joined here by Karin Loopsche. Karin, baie welkom.
Ek geweet het, ek gaan nie wees, dan het ek my haar gekam.
Toe, maar kyk hoe like Alicia. Ek wil vir jou hoor, what's your connection with Karin Zoid? How did you meet? What do you do? Because you're a promoter. No, I don't want to give it away. You say what you do.
Ek het haar ontmoet. Met toe sy hangover gehad het, ek dink het was 12 jaar gelede, ek het nog by Rooi Rose gewerk, ons moest een show doen, so ons het een klomp Afrikaanse vrouwelike kunstenaars ingekry studio toe om songs te kom
op. Ek onthou dit?
Ja, al die jazz.
O, het jy dit gereel?
Ja.
O,
ja, Amanda.
Amanda was daar.
Azietsman, Kat Klaas, man.
Mynie Groewe,
ja.
Ja, please.
Maar dit is lang al, 12 jaar gelede. Toe kom sy by die studio aan om al liedjie op te neem. En val, sy loop in met die deur, en val op die mat neer, en sê, ek het 'n hangover, ek het koffie nodig, en ek stres, want ons moet, weet, sy moet al liedjie opneem, en al die ander tannies is baie ernstig, maar is nie sy nie.
Maar jy weet dus hoe om mal kunstenaars te behandel.
Ek het geleer, ja.
Want kunstenaars is nie lekker nie.
Nee, hulle is baie speciaal.
Ja, and you can do it. So are you manager of Karin Zoid?
Ja. Manage haar. Ek probeer om haar te manage.
Okay.
Ja.
So wat is volgende vir Karin Zoid?
Wel, op die oomblik is die talkshow wat op Kyk Net begin het nogals die myn ding.
Ja.
En dit gaan aan...
Is donderdag aande?
Donderdag aande, ja, 8:00. Ja. Primetime slot, jy weet.
That's good.
And so Karin is die producer van die show, is die regisseur van die show. Is,
maar, ja.
So you the force behind it?
Ja.
Okay.
Maar dis aan tot Oktober toe op Kyk Net. En as ons nou maar wag om te hoor van 'n volgende reeks of wat hulle planne verder is. Die terugvoer op die show is baie goed.
So it could mean second series.
Ja, so dit, okay. Maar jy weet mos hoe werk met televisie. Mens weet nooit tot op die laaste nippertjie
nie. Moenie vir my vra nie. Ja, we'll see, but hopefully they will have vision because usually now when you see something is popular, you book the second season.
Yeah.
That's how it works in the real TV land. So let's hope they do that as well.
En die ding, die ooms en die tannies love Karin.
Ja, yeah, but that's good.
Ek denk hulle was bang in die begin, want sy breek gitaar in. En sy
ja, hulle ken nie.
Maar hulle love haar, dis great. Yeah.
Love haar persoonlikheid as a chat show host.
Ek denk hulle sien 'n ander kant van haar nou raak, wat mense nou nie gewoonlik sou van weet het nie. Weet. Maar ja, dan moet ons haar album launch, een of ander tyd in September.
But she must go to America. Where are you going to go? Have you made contact yet? Do you know where you're going to mix it? Karin.
No, it's been mixed.
You're going to master it.
It's been mastered in America.
Okay, but where? New York, Los Angeles, where do you want to go?
LA.
What's your mic?
LA,
Huh? LA?
LA, yeah, I'll master it.
But from Steve? I had must...
Hoffman.
Yeah, man, remember years ago, he went to master one of his stuff in the Celine Dion studio, and she was... You could still smell her Charlie. in the studio or something. What was that song? It was... He did that song, which was a beautiful song. And it became, I think, number 400 on the hit parade. And then together with that, he released the Blow Buller fucking song, which became number one. So it was like irony of the fucking Czechos public out there. But anyway, so yeah, I think contact for Steve.
Okay, met hom. Tweet hom somme nou.
Ja.
Kom ons tweet hom. Steve, luister nou, help vir Karin. And then the new album, how's the industry with videos in South Africa? Does it cost money? Do you have to pay for it yourself? Have you got a record? What record label have you got? Have you got your own record label?
Nee, Karin is eintlik independent, al vir baie jare, wat great is, want so sy besit haar eie musiek. So ons doen gelukkig maar nie distribution deals om die series in die...
Ja, but it's changed, you know, as you know, the whole... the whole world has changed in media, entertainment. So you are really driven back to the basics.
Mm.
And then you're not going to make it now if you don't have a brain or if you don't have a great song. I feel sorry for young bands starting out now. Because CDs are gone. I don't know about you, but I don't have any CDs.
CD download.
You're not gonna,
safe space.
You need a hit song. You need to make an impact. And you need to then have a plan.
Mm.
It's previously, it used to be, you have a song. There's a record company. They're going to push you. They're going to put the money behind you. They're going when the song breaks on the radio, there's a whole machine. Nowadays, there's a young band called Beatenberg. They're doing very, very well. And it's because they've got business sense.
Mm.
And they obviously, I don't know if it's their parents or friends, or but they've been guided and they had the song broke and they are carrying on with a plan that they have designed by themselves. I know that because I've been in the South African music industry for a very, very long time.
It is the new way to go. It is like that. But let me tell you something here. It's on record now. It's on podcast. If you are from your new CD, and you need to make a music video, because I think you do, because it has to go on YouTube so it can get more exposure. And so, you know, I actually like directing, but you don't have to mention my name or anything. But I will direct a music video for free.
Yay.
From that LP if you want me to.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Because yeah. I would love to do that.
But it's something
edit,
serious. Something serious. Well.
Yeah, it's not funny. I am serious. I'm not funny.
And the song is also going to be a serious song.
Yeah, it can be a serious song. I like imagery. Remember, I'm painting now. I'm working with fucking colors. So it would be fantastic.
Okay.
So remember, that's a date. Okay, if you want to.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. Well, it's nearly time to go. Let's play Thought of the Day.
Here is the thought of the week.
Oh, sorry, it's of the week. Always have a little
one thought per week. That's it.
Yeah.
No more.
And then we discuss that thought. So this week's thought you can discuss with me. It's quite funny. I must just find it. Here it is. It's not funny, though. It's serious. Oh, I had a funny one, but this one is serious. Listen, have we got an organ? Play the organ again. Speak boldly and with intellect. Never hush your voice for someone else's comfort. Speak your mind. Make people uncomfortable. How's that? You don't agree?
Yeah, die musiek maak het nou moeser. Wat ek as in church for a minute. I think I was being indoctrinated by something, somebody. Okay, like, oprah my propaganda. En dan elke dag, jy kan daai musiek speel en dan elke dag sê, koop Karen Zoid sy nuwe CD. Dit is goed vir jou.
Koop Karen Zoid sy nuwe CD. Is goed vir jou. Dit gaan jou lewe beter maak. Luister na Karen Zoid elke dag. As jy geluk wil hê, en kyk haar elke donderdag aan, as jy wil lewe.
Ja, asseblief doen dit elke week.
It's karaoke time. Where the people are there? Tell their people.
Is ons
no,
nou
no,
can I just interject quickly? I've got a final thought. Final
what?
Thought for the day.
What?
My what? Final thought for the day.
Yes.
Okay. Instead of selling ad space, create a product and you should sell that, the thought of the week, and product placements.
Okay, well, let's talk to Gareth after this because he's got to okay it. They're showing
organ
me signs,
donors.
They're showing me signs that I've now got to rap. But remember, I started late because this fucking sex show was late. We're going to sing the karaoke. You don't know my tune song, but you can just sing along. You must sing along, well, Karin.
Yeah.
You're right? Okay, let's go.
It's the Casper Radio Show.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Stay well. Bye-bye. Humbanigashle.
Goodbye. Farewell. Humbanigashle.